So good to be together to worship God this morning. We're so grateful for the opportunity to worship God here this morning. It is another beautiful day to be worshiping God together. You will have seen me join earlier. You will have seen in the previous slide. Added today, territory acknowledgement. I think we're all in some way to respond to the news this week in Saskatchewan, which we had earlier, the news from British Columbia. We're all in some way to respond. But we know that for the people who of missing children. So we begin this morning with the land acknowledgement that was in the prelude slides. This morning we acknowledge, in humility and gratitude, the land we are gathered on. It's the traditional territories of the Haudenosaunee, Anishinaabeg, Chippewa, Wendat, and Mississaugas of the Credit First Nations, now home to many diverse First Nations, Inuit and Métis. We also acknowledge that Toronto is covered by Treaty 13, with the Mississaugas of the Credit. We have the invitation of God this morning into worship. These words from Revelation. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let everyone who hears say, "Come." And let everyone who is thirsty, come. Let everyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. So we come into worship today at the invitation of God. We gather together to worship God. We gather together to share a holy meal set behind me now. We will gather around a table to which Christ has invited us. You have a place at this table. We all have a place at this table. We will give thanks. We will find our home with God together. So come, people of God, come to worship. Welcome to the table. Welcome to the worship of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing together, please.
Peace. God hears our confession and forgives our sin. King David in Psalm 5 said, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly." Let's join in prayer to the Father through the Spirit in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Lord God, our God, you are great and worthy of our praise. Thank you for giving us the power of your Holy Spirit. Teach us to pray in confidence and faith. Lord, our Lord, you have a rightful claim on our lives because you made us, you love us, and you want to bless us with every good thing. But you are not pleased with our sin. Make your way plain to us and lead us in your righteousness. When faced with crucial choices, may we look for and find your ways. Enable us to identify the good, to name evil as evil, and to avoid it. We ask you to lead us, Lord, because you know what is best for us. Gracious and loving God, you know, and sometimes we know all too well, that our faith is uncertain, our forgiveness slow, our convictions weak, and our compassion wavering. We have exalted the proud and powerful, ignored the weak, and neglected the poor. In a moment of silence, we pause to confront ourselves and name the things that prevent us from fully realizing your grace and sharing it with those around us. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your unfailing love. Hear us, love us, and forgive us. Renew within us a vivid awareness that you are with us. May this awareness make it possible to go where you want us to go, to do what you want us to do, and to give your name glory. Lead us all in the ways of your kingdom. Like King David, we want to boldly lay these requests before you and then wait expectantly for how you will answer. You are the God who delights in answering the prayers of his children. And so we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Words of assurance. This is good news. God does not mock us when we fail to trust, but invites us into a deeper, more intimate relationship. God does not shame us when our faith wavers, but challenges us to be strengthened by God's promises. Happy are those who don't see and yet trust. God's purpose is not to tear us down, but to build us up, forgiven, refreshed, and renewed. Thanks be to God.
Today's Old Testament reading is from Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of God.
Thank you, Alice, Dorothy, Janie. Appreciate your leadership in prayer and scripture. Open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 20. That will be our text for our message this morning. Acts chapter 20, and we'll begin reading in verse 7. Last week, we had Tom Milligan with us, and he began a series for us on the Holy Spirit. We continue today. Continue today as we come to the table. We continue that theme of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to read Acts chapter 20, a very short little story. On the first day of the week when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with them. Since he intended to leave the next day, he continued speaking until midnight. There were many lamps in the room upstairs where we were meeting. A young man named Eutychus, who was sitting in the window, began to sink off into a deep sleep while Paul talked still longer. Overcome by sleep, he fell to the ground three floors below and was picked up dead. But Paul went down and, bending over him, took him in his arms and said, "Do not be alarmed, for his life is in him." Then Paul went upstairs, and after he had broken bread and eaten, he continued to converse with them until dawn. Then he left. Meanwhile, they had taken the boy away alive, and they were not a little comforted. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we humbly come to your scripture, we humbly come to the table, and we are so grateful for your word, and we are so grateful for the table. Now come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts and unite us and teach us what you would have us to know. For Jesus' sake, in Jesus' name, amen. I love this little story, don't you? I only wish it were longer with more details, because there's just a lot of things we would love to know about this story, but it's very short. But it is a wonderful story to focus our thoughts on the Lord's Supper today. I've never preached about this passage of Scripture before, but I've heard lots of sermons on it, and I've read lots of books that reference it. And it always, it seems, that this passage is used as an explanation for things like why Christians meet on Sundays for worship and not on Saturdays, or the question of how often we should take the Lord's Supper. But do you know what? I think I've never heard a sermon on the fact with the focus on the fact that someone was raised from the dead in this story. Now, is that not incredible? A young man died and by the power of Christ was raised to new life. Now that is exciting. That is worth preaching about. Well, the writer Luke makes three understatements in this story that I find somewhat amusing. First, he says, Paul preached still longer. Well, we know that preachers preach too long a lot of times, but this was really extreme. Come on, Paul, we're dying here. Bring it to a close. Well, second, Luke actually names the young man, the lad, it seems. And his name was, get ready, Lucky. Eutychus means lucky or fortunate one. Yeah, I'd say he was pretty lucky, lucky to go home alive from that service. And third, when all the people left, they went home not a little comforted. Now that is surely the understatement of understatements. There's three main characters in this story besides the narrator, Luke. There's Lucky Eutychus, seemingly just a lad. And I always think that when someone is named in a New Testament story, he's named for the reason that he's still alive and he's still a witness to the events that took place, as if Luke were saying, you don't believe someone was raised from the dead in that story? Go ask Eutychus of Troas. He's still alive. He will tell you what happened. Second person in this story is Paul, the great apostle, who's known for his preaching, but as we would have learned if we'd read the previous chapter, he's also become known for signs and wonders and miracles done in the name of Jesus. But our focus today will be on the other main character of this story, who is not named or even referenced, but very much present, and that is the Holy Spirit. For it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit, who was present that day, that Paul raised Eutychus from the dead. So let's look at the story and the few details that we do have of the story. The story takes place on Paul's third missionary journey, and he's starting to return back and head back to Jerusalem. and it takes place in the town of Troas in Asia Minor. First, we see that they were meeting on the evening of the first day of the week. It could have been a Saturday night, it could have been a Sunday night, we're really not sure, but it was a Sunday by our way of reckoning. We're told that they met for the purpose of breaking bread. That was their way of saying that they were meeting to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And we're told that their guest preacher, the great Apostle Paul, who they had been looking forward to coming and surely gave whatever time he wanted to speak, was invited to come and give some form of discussion, some form of didactic or interactive teaching. And we're told that he had plenty of things to discuss because he went on and on. And next we're told that the meeting room where they gathered was an upstairs room and that there were no windows or screens on them. Well, actually, we're not told there were no windows or screens on them, but that's the way it was in those days. I was once at a wedding with my daughter when she was just 2 years old. Not quite 2 years old. She was a busy young thing. The wedding reception took place in an upper room, and there were large windows that came almost to the floor with no screens on them. They were wide open because the night was very hot and very humid, and people were desperate to get some air. And I tell you, I remember nothing of that reception, not a single thing, except that I spent my entire time trying to make sure that my daughter did not fall out one of those windows. Well, the next thing we're told here in this story is that there were many lamps in the room. What an odd little detail to throw in. Why did Luke throw in that detail? To justify that Paul could go on speaking all night long? No, it's because they were oil lamps, and oil lamps put off smoke. And so the air was getting smokier and smokier and thicker and thicker. And so don't blame anyone for taking to the windows to try to get some fresh air. Unfortunately, the lad Eutychus did not succeed in staying awake. He was overcome by drowsiness, we're told, and down he plunged. Luke, a doctor, certifies that he was picked up dead. And suddenly, their time of anticipated celebration with the Lord and with the great Apostle Paul were overshadowed by death. Death had entered the scene. But Paul, with little fanfare or even great prayers, it seems, throws his arms around the boy. He had read that the prophet Elijah had thrown his arms around a boy and raised that boy to life. He had read that Jesus nonchalantly almost raised a young lad from the dead. And so he does the same thing, wrapping his arms around the boy, and he presents the boy to them alive. And then they all, Eutychus and his family included, went back upstairs and they celebrated. And I mean, they celebrated the Lord's Supper together. And finally, we're told that Paul kept preaching until daylight. But I think that is a story for another time. The Holy Spirit, as we said, is never named in this story, but it is only by the powerful presence of Christ's Spirit that Paul raised Eutychus back to life. And perhaps we wonder, as we gather, especially as we gather virtually, is the Holy Spirit really present around the table for us? With us. In our tradition, as in most liturgical Christian traditions, there comes a point in the Lord's Supper celebration that we speak to introduce the supper, and we ask the Holy Spirit to come. This is called various things. We sometimes call it a prayer of consecration. It is also known in other traditions, Christian traditions, as the prayer of invocation. Throughout history, it's been known by its Greek name, which is the epiclesis. In fact, in our worship source book, which is the mainstay of worship planning for most people in the Christian Reformed Church, it's still referred to as the epiclesis. The word epiclesis simply means to call upon. We're calling upon the Holy Spirit to come into the celebration and to do his work. Well, what is that work? What is it that we call upon the Holy Spirit to come and do? In Catholic and Orthodox traditions, the epiclesis marks the precise point in the liturgy where the bread and the wine literally become the body and blood of Jesus. But unfortunately, the Catholics and the Orthodox have never agreed where in the liturgy that actually takes place. And it has been a point of division between those two church traditions for very many centuries. we've looked back into church history, we find that the epiclesis or anything like it does not appear in the New Testament. The word itself does not appear in the New Testament. It does appear in the Greek version of the Old Testament Apocrypha, which we don't have in our Bibles, but of course are in Catholic Bibles. It's in two references, both in the book of 2 Maccabees. And they both are a description of the people invoking the, quote, sacred and magnificent name of God, that God might give them victory in their battles. So it is an invocation for God to come and help them. Jesus, of course, did not offer an invocation when he ate the Last Supper with his disciples. He did not need to. He was already present with them. Rather, he blessed the bread and the wine. And we follow his example when we do that. And he promised his presence with us when we bless the bread and the wine, following his death, resurrection, and ascension, that he would eat with us in the kingdom as we eat and drink together. Moving ahead from Jesus's time to the early church and the practice of communion, Christopher Koo points out that the first likely mention that we have of an epiclesis in the early church is from the second half of the second century. The bishops of Smyrna named Irenaeus wrote these words, "The bread," referring to the table, "the bread which is produced from the earth, when it receives the invocation of God, is no longer common bread, but the Eucharist." This is not exactly the same as would be prayed and understood in the Catholic Mass today, but you begin to see a development of thought in the notion of an epiclesis. Well, the first reference to an epiclesis, or an invocation in the form used by Catholics and Orthodox today would be from St. Basil around the end of the 3rd century, and he wrote this, "We pray you, our God, in adoration that in the good pleasure of your goodness, of your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts that have been set before you, and may sanctify them and make them holy of holies." It's a prayer of invocation asking that the elements of communion be made into a holy of holies. That is something very sacred. The reformers, of course, focused much attention upon the Catholic Mass. And one thing they wanted to make clear is that the Holy Spirit is very much present in the Lord's Supper. However, the Holy Spirit's presence is not to transform things, that is, the bread and the wine, but to transform people, that is, you and I, who eat the bread and drink the wine. It is we who are to be changed and transformed so that we might, by faith, receive the bread and wine as the body and blood of the Lord, and furthermore, to be built up with one another as the body of Christ on this earth. So when we pray, as we soon will, something of the form, "Lord, our God, send your Holy Spirit so that this bread and cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ," we are not asking the Holy Spirit to descend upon the bread and the wine to change them. Rather, we are offering ourselves, asking that the Holy Spirit would descend upon us to change us, to give us the faith that is necessary, and to begin to realize the power that is available to us, which takes us back to our text. When Paul picked up Eutychus's dead body from the ground, the Holy Spirit was present in resurrection power and restored physical life to the life of that boy. The Holy Spirit was already there to heal and give life as the church of Troas gathered in worship. Note that not yet in this story have they shared the breaking of bread. They did not need a special invocation to ask the Holy Spirit to come in power on behalf of Paul and Eutychus. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is with us now. The Holy Spirit will be with us as we share the Lord's Supper. Likewise, the Holy Spirit is with you now at home, but just as assuredly when you rose this morning. And I hope that you join us on a Sunday morning and getting down on your knees and asking the Holy Spirit to come into this church as we gather virtually. That's what I do before a Sunday morning service. We always ask the Holy Spirit to be with us even before we say a single word. Please weekly join us in that prayer, even as you will join us at the table this morning. So then do we need an epiclesis, a special invocation of the Holy Spirit? Remember that the word epiclesis means to call upon. That is to call upon the name of the Lord. And yes, human beings need to call upon the name of the Lord. Way back at the close of Genesis 4, right after Eve's son Seth had another son himself named Enosh, we're told at that time people began to call upon the Lord. There's great hope in these words that after sin and murder had entered the world, that God would have a response and God would hear the calling and respond. Throughout the Old Testament, we see individuals and people groups, beginning with Abraham, calling on the name of the Lord. And God responds. The great promise of the New Testament is because of Jesus that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So yes, we call upon the name of the Lord and we seek that salvation. So open yourselves up in the sharing of the Lord's Supper this morning to the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Does the Holy Spirit need us to invoke his presence? Of course not. The Spirit is infinitely stronger than we. The Spirit can blow where it pleases, Jesus said. There's no formula we could ever hope to use to cause the Holy Spirit to come. But just as the Holy Spirit does not need a special invitation, the Holy Spirit is waiting for us to invite him. Yes, most assuredly, yes, the Holy Spirit wants us to invite us, waiting for hearts and churches who desire his life-changing work for yourselves, for ourselves, and for the world beyond our doors. The question is, do you have that kind of heart? And are we that kind of church? When you read the book of Acts, any part of the book of Acts, you should remember that it is the sequel to the Gospel of Luke. And the prequel and the sequel, the two books, Luke and Acts, parallel each other. By placing the two books in parallel, Luke is stating that the church is carrying on and carrying out the life and the power and the ministry and the suffering of Jesus on this earth. That is the role of the church. And specifically for our present story, consider this. Back on Resurrection Sunday, what text did we use? Well, we looked at Luke 24 and the Emmaus story, the story of two disciples walking to Emmaus on the first day of the week, the day that Jesus had been raised from the tomb. And that we have the story there of how Jesus taught them from the scriptures. And then he was made known to them in physical presence in the breaking of the bread. Beautiful, beautiful story. Well, today's story of the church in Troas is given to us by Luke, the same author, as a direct parallel, it seems, to the Emmaus story. Just as in Luke 24, the disciples in Troas are gathered together on the first day of the week. In Troas, they have gathered for the purpose of breaking bread, that is, sharing the Lord's Supper, a clear parallel to when Jesus broke the bread in the home of Cleopas in Emmaus. And Paul no doubt taught from the scriptures, just as Jesus had taught Cleopas and his partner from the Old Testament scriptures. And just as in the Emmaus story, though, fear, specifically the fear of death, shock, and utter disappointment of death enter the story. And that awful question looms large now in the stories, now what? Someone has died, now what? And the answer comes back in Acts chapter 20, just as assuredly as it did from the tomb on the first day of Easter Sunday. He is alive. Eutychus is alive. Jesus is alive. Eutychus now lives because of Jesus' life. And all this happens because Jesus is present in Troas, just as in Emmaus. In Emmaus, Jesus was bodily present. In Troas, Jesus is present by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus is present by the power of the Holy Spirit, then resurrection life is also a part of that meal. After Eutychus was raised, they went upstairs and they celebrated the Lord's Supper service together. Can you imagine being a part of that Lord's Supper service? Try and picture it. Eutychus was there at the table. What a celebration. What a testimony to the resurrection life of Jesus. They would never forget that moment. This is the presence of Jesus for the disciples breaking bread in Emmaus, for the disciples breaking bread in Troas, and for the disciples breaking bread in Toronto. Do you believe this? Or are we gripped by fear? We're told in 1 Thessalonians, do not quench the Spirit. And there are many ways we can quench the Spirit. One of the greatest ways to quench the Spirit is to remain in fear. When we remain in fear, we remain in self-protection mode. We close up and we do not give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to work. Open yourselves up to the Spirit. Use the opportunity provided for you at the table as we share the bread and the wine. And as I will offer the invocation on your behalf, offer one yourself in the quietness of your own room and say, come, Holy Spirit. Allow the Spirit to make you what the Spirit wants you to become, to reveal where he wants to change you. Allow the Spirit to feed you with the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. Allow the Spirit to overcome your fears with resurrection power. Although the Holy Spirit does not need an invitation, as we call upon him, the Holy Spirit brings the real presence of Jesus and his resurrection power to willing hearts, to your hearts and my heart, to those of us willing to receive him. As Tom said last week, we're in a period of waiting now, of waiting and seeking, of asking that we might see what miracles the Holy Spirit might want to do among us by the resurrection power of Jesus in our midst. Will you pray with me, please? Lord, we thank you for this story. Thank you for Eutychus' life. Thank you for the witness of new life in Jesus. Thank you for those who had faith and celebrated that faith in that way. But thank you most of all for your Holy Spirit who lives among us and who brings the presence of Christ to us. As we turn to the table now, Lord, we go at your invitation. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Spirit, renew the face of the earth. Come, Let me lead you in a time of congregational prayer. Let us pray. We praise and thank you, O Lord. Thank you that you have fed us with the preaching of your word, and also at your supper, at the table. Grateful, Lord, for your gifts, and mindful of the communion of your saints, we offer to you now our prayers for all people. God of compassion, we remember before you the poor, the afflicted, the sick, the dying, the grieving, prisoners and all who are lonely, victims of war, injustice, inhumanity, or disasters, and all others who suffer from whatever their sufferings may be called. So Lord, we remember. Remember those who are grieving and suffering from the racism of the past, and maybe even some of the present. Remember those who are grieving over the loss of loved ones, over disasters, whether it's natural or man-made. We remember those, especially suffering from human trafficking. We pray, Lord, for the work of World Renew, even as we remember to give our offerings to them today. We pray, Lord, that you may bless the efforts of that ministry to prevent human trafficking and all the victims of this heinous crime. We pray for everyone that we know who are facing health struggles. You know them, Lord, and what they're going through. We pray for your healing and your grace. Lord of Providence, you hold the destiny of the nations in your hand. We pray for our nation. Inspire the hearts and minds of our leaders that they, together with all of us, all your people, may first seek your kingdom and righteousness, so that order, liberty, and peace may dwell with us. God, God the Creator, we pray for all nations and peoples. Take away the mistrust and lack of understanding, the prejudice, the discriminations that divide us. Mm-hmm. Increase in us, Lord, the recognition that we are all your children. Mm-hmm. And so we are mindful, Lord, with the discovery of all those unmarked graves of all those indigenous children. Lord, we pray. May you have mercy. May you help your church, your people, to be able to be a voice to help those who suffer from injustice. Remember all the indigenous peoples and their sufferings to you. Remember of unrest in the world, unrest in the Middle East and other parts of the world. Remember the pandemic to you too, Lord. There's still many who are suffering from that. We thank you for the vaccines. We pray that all the medical frontline people will be able to do their work. Bless their efforts, Lord. Protect them as they try to help others. remember some countries, especially India, where things with the pandemic seem to be going out of control. We pray, Lord, commit all these into your hands. Savior God, look upon your church in its struggle upon the earth. Have mercy on the church's weaknesses and all the faults and mistakes that the church has made. Bring to an end too, Lord, all our divisions and splits. Heal us, unite us again. Scatter our fears. Lord, we pray. May your Holy Spirit, as we have sung, may your Holy Spirit indeed fill us and fill your people and fill your church. Remove our fears away. Remove our sins away that may quench the Spirit and the Spirit's leading. Fill us with your resurrection power, Lord, that we indeed again, your church will be a powerful witness for you, your kingdom, and your grace and love to the world. We also remember to you those Christians in the world who are persecuted, Lord. May you deliver them, protect them. Remember especially today, Christians in Pakistan. We pray for missionaries, Lord, who have devoted their lives and time and energy and efforts to furthering your kingdom and to preaching your word. This morning, we want to remember Karen Lubbers to you especially. So Lord, we pray for the ministry of our church here, our local Fellowship Christian Reformed Church. Look upon our ministries, Lord. Bless it, we pray. Increase us the reach and of our ministries and help us. Inspire us to be a witness to those around us and to those that you bring into contact with us. I want to remember our offerings to you. Use us, Lord, and use the offerings that we give as a blessing to the ministries of this church and to World Renew. So, author of grace and God of love, we pray that you send your Holy Spirit to us. Well, we know that your Holy Spirit is with us. But we ask, Lord, help us to walk in step with the Spirit. May Holy Spirit's blessing to us be present and be experienced by us. Keep our hearts and thoughts in Jesus Christ, your Son, our only Savior, and our Lord. And we pray all this in his holy name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Chong. As Chong mentioned, in our tithes and offerings, we take up two offerings, one for this church, and then a special offering every week. And this week, as he mentioned, it is for World Renew and their work in prevention of human trafficking. We're so grateful to have an organization within the Christian Reformed Church that focuses on efforts on prevention of this terrible thing, human trafficking, particularly of women and children. There's something else going on today as well. We have joined with Bloordale United Church, and we have challenged the neighborhood to give in a food drive for Ernestine's Women's Shelter here in Etobicoke. And so after church, many of us will be working on collecting food from the neighborhood and accepting drop-offs here at the church building. You too can give if you want to. Right after church, we are collecting food items for Ernestine's as well. Receive now the blessing of God as we go. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And all God's people say, Amen. Go in his peace.